All right, so the Marlins are going to throw left-hander Ross Detweiler, at least to start the game, against the Giants, and the Giants come back with Logan Webb today trying to get things going in his season. He was fabulous in spring training, not the same way during the regular season, so that is what we got going on at 1:05 today. And George Costa, senior security person at the ballpark, says everything is going to go, and we'll monitor the weather as we go through it this morning. Lawrence Baldassaro, and I love books that he has written. We've had Larry on before. He's a professor emeritus of Italian at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and he has chosen a subject that's dear to the hearts of everyone in the Bay Area who follow the history of Major League Baseball, and that is a biography of the great Tony Lazzari, a Hall of Famer, one of the great Yankees of all time, but it's a compelling story about Tony Lazzari. Larry, nice to have you on the show with us.
Thanks, Marty. Always a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, why Tony Lazzari for you? A very important person in the Italian-American community, and one of the first, they call him the patron saint of Italian-American baseball players. So, but Tony is a compelling story.
He really is. And the sad part is that, you know, the first line of my preface mentions two San Franciscans. It says, before there was Joe DiMaggio, there was Tony Lazzari. And, of course, everybody knows who Joe was, right? But sadly, most people in baseball even don't remember much, if anything, about Tony Lazzari. And to be honest, I didn't know a whole lot about him until I started doing research for Beyond DiMaggio, my history of Italians in baseball. And I was just stunned. Of all the people I researched and wrote about for that book, no one surprised me and intrigued me more than Tony Lazzari. I couldn't believe that I hadn't known more about him. I mean, in his days with the Yankees from 26 to 37, he was one of the most celebrated athletes in America. You know, his contemporaries, the guys who played with him, the guys who played against him, writers, they all celebrated Tony as not only being a great ball player, but also having one of the smartest baseball minds and being one of the most respected players in the game. Even someone as distinguished as Red Smith, certainly one of the great sports writers of the 20th century, called Tony Lazzari as great a player as ever lived. So I'm wondering, you know, what's happened to him? How could he disappear from the radar screen of baseball? Then the obvious answer is, as great as Tony was, as time passed, his achievements were kind of overshadowed by those of his iconic teammates, Ruth, Gehrig, and, of course, DiMaggio. And the other factor, Tony died at the age of 42 in 1946. So, you know, he's been out of the public consciousness for more than seven decades. So when I learned all of this, I just thought, this is much too important a story not to be told. He deserves to have his rightful place in baseball history restored, and that's what I tried to do in this book.
Well, you did it beautifully. What about his Bay Area connection, the San Francisco connection? Because I know there's a baseball field at Jackson Playground named after him, and I've pitched a lot of softball in the softball fields there. But he has a tremendous San Francisco connection.
Well, he was born there. Italian immigrants. His parents had only come to America 9 months before Tony was born in 1903. He grew up in the Potrero district, which apparently at that time was kind of a tough neighborhood, because later Tony told a sports writer that he said it wasn't a neighborhood where you were likely to grow up as a sissy, because it's always fight or get licked, and I never got licked. And in fact, he became an amateur boxer, even considered becoming a pro fighter, but turned his passion to baseball, which was, I think, to everyone's benefit. When he returned, I want to say something about his humanitarian aspect, which is never discussed. When he'd go back to San Francisco in the off season when he was with the Yankees, he would play in a number of benefit games games that would raise funds for various charities, one of which was the Professional Baseball Players of America, whose mission was to provide assistance to old-time ballplayers who were down on their luck. And at a later point, after he was no longer playing ball, Tony was elected to the board of directors of that group. During World War II, he visited wounded soldiers in local hospitals. And in 1946, just a couple of months before he died, he became one of the three instructors for the San Francisco Examiner Baseball School for Kids, which was part of that broader Hearst newspaper sandlot tournament across the country. He and two other San Francisco natives, Ossie Vitt and Willie Camp, former ball players. So, you know, he was a mentor. He was a mentor to those kids. He was a mentor to Frank Crosetti when he came up to the Yankees, and Joe DiMaggio for sure, and even Lefty Gomez. In fact, Gomez said it was Tony who taught us how to be a Yankee.
So, you know, it's funny. It's funny, Larry Baldessaro with us. The book is Tony Lazzeri by Nebraska Press. The Baseball Exploits. Now, we've talked a lot about him as a person, which it's an amazing background. But his baseball exploits are interesting. I mean, he had epilepsy. Jacob Rupert, of the owner of the Yankees, said, well, I don't care if he's got epilepsy as long as he's okay between 3 and 6 p.m. when the Yankees were going to play. But he was at Salt Lake City in the PCL. He had 60 home runs. Then from there, he was purchased by the Yankees after other teams passed on him. He still holds major league records. It was Earl Coombs and Musil and Koenig and Ruth and Gehrig and then Lazzeri. And he was a fabulous second baseman, and he's also known for a couple of World Series exploits that didn't go his way. So just touch briefly on the baseball career of Tony.
Well, you know, what makes him stand out from his other teammates, that Tony was a second baseman who happened to hit home runs. And second basemen who could hit the long ball were about as common as left-handed catchers in those days. Just other than Rogers Hornsby, it just wasn't done. And Tony, even as a rookie, yeah, he had 60 home runs in the Pacific Coast League in 25, 26 as a 22-year-old rookie. He only hit 18, but in 1926, 18 home runs was good for third place in the American League, behind, of course, the Babe, who hit 47. He was in a universe of his own, and Al Simmons, who hit 19. So, you know, he was just, even as a rookie, he was a tremendous slugger. And in his 12 years with the Yankees, he really was one of the elite sluggers of his era. Only in that period, only six American Leaguers, all future Hall of Famers, hit more home runs than Tony, and only five drove in more runs. So, again, spectacular middle infielder that hit with great power. That's really what set him apart. And, again, a great defender, a great clutch hitter. You know, some writers said it wasn't just that he got hits, he got them when they most counted. And some said that, you know, nobody on that team got more key hits than Tony Lazzeri.
Two parts of his life. The book is Tony Lazzeri, excellent story about all the different facets of his life, as Larry just explained it. One, 1926, he's a rookie. It's game 7 of the World Series, and they've made movies out of this stuff. Grover Cleveland Alexander's in the bullpen. He's got a hangover, and the bases are loaded. It's a one-run game, and Frankie Frisch, I think it was, motions to the bullpen to bring in Grover Cleveland Alexander, and they have to wake him up, and he comes in, and Lazzeri's the batter. And Lazzeri hits one, a shot down the left field line that's fouled by a few feet. And then he strikes him out. And it's one of the most famous strikeouts in World Series history. And the second part is his nickname of Push-Em-Up is sort of an interesting story. So let's finish it up and let's comment on those two things.
Well, the real question about that strikeout is, why has it become one of the iconic moments in World Series history? You know, Tony's 22 years old. He's facing one of the greatest pitchers of all time, 39-year-old veteran. It was an even matchup in that sense. And, you know, Tony led the league in strikeouts that year with 96. So the fact that he struck out against Grover Cleveland Alexander didn't shock anybody. And no writers blamed him for that game, for the loss. He wasn't the GOAT. Two errors were made in the fourth inning by Musial and Koenig that allowed three unearned runs to score. And that was the game, 3-2. So why does it hang over? Why did it taunt him for the rest of his life? Well, it wouldn't have mattered if it had been any other pitcher than someone of Grover Cleveland Alexander's status, you know, a sure Hall of Famer. And, of course, then Tony became famous as his career moved on. So I think that's what turned it into a big moment, but totally unfair in the sense that it wasn't, you know, he was not the GOAT of that game or that series. It's even to rub salt in the wound, if you go to the Hall of Fame and you look at Alexander's plaque, it mentions that strikeout. It says, won the world championship in 1946 by striking out Tony Lazzeri. It's the only time in the Hall of Fame that a player's name appears on somebody else's plaque, and for a failure. I mean, so everybody who's gone through the Hall of Fame since 1939 is a reminder of that strikeout by Alexander's plaque.
Mm. So, boy, interesting. Yeah, they called him Push 'Em Up. It was sort of a nickname that was given to him, you know, move the runners along, and they kind of made it Push 'Em Up, Tony Lazzeri. Larry, the book is terrific. It really is. I learned so much about Tony Lazzeri, a great Hall of Famer, and it's really important that it's been done. You can get it at all the independent stores. The Book Tree up in Montclair, I know, has got it. And, of course, all the regular outlets, Nebraska Press, put it out. Larry, I appreciate you being on. It's a good story, and I'm glad you took the time to write it.
Well, I appreciate you having me on very much, Marty. Always good to talk to you.
All right. Very good. Tony Lazzeri, Yankees legend and baseball pioneer. He was the patron saint of the Italian-American players. He was the first big star, and he is a San Franciscan. All right, more coming up. Bill, Kerry, and I will chat when we come back right after this.